from local high school sports.
It's good to be joined by our Student Athlete of the Week. Anthony, how's it feel to be a Student Athlete of the Week?
Feels good, man.
To your Fresno State Bulldogs.
Pleasure to always have Coach Entz in the building here. And Coach, how are you doing on this Tuesday night?
Doing good. Doing really good.
When the athletic director of Fresno State drops in here at ESPN Fresno. Garrett, it's good to have you in.
You know, we're just grinding every day trying to get better. But, man, beautiful weather right now.
And voices from the pros.
On ESPN Fresno with Sean Merriman, Charger linebacker. Great.
Man, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Q Myers joining me now. He's with the Raiders, of course.
Man, I love Fresno. Yeah. I really do, man.
Rick Neuheisel here with us on ESPN Fresno.
It is a treat to be on ESPN Fresno.
This is your home for all things sports. Hosted by Phil Bonatti. Breaking it down, calling it like it is, and taking you behind the game. This is Behind the Bench on ESPN Fresno.
That's right, Behind the Bench here in 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this wonderful Wednesday afternoon after another subpar Giants performance, which completes the sweep against the Arizona Diamondbacks and now falling to 20-30 on the record this year. Yeesh. We'll get into that in a little bit. We'll get into all of it here in the next 2 hours, of course. 2 hours of show before we send it off to Grizzlies baseball as they are coming to you live tonight at 6:15 against the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes, the new affiliate for the Angels this year. It used to be the Dodgers affiliate, but now it is the Angels. So we will see those two teams tussle. Tim Slack on the call for that one coming up in a couple of hours from today. Of course, we will have our show going till then. And some stuff to get into for sure with the top of the show. We'll get into it all. We got a good guest list. One guest today, Tony Caviglia, going to be joining me. Retired Fresno City football coach today. Who, by the way, Fresno City football announcing their new head coach, Josh Brown, today. Former defensive coaching assistant at Sacramento State. And has been heavily recruiting in this area for Sacramento State and Cal Poly and all around. He's been around in this Golden State here, and he is ready to take over the helm for the Fresno City football program. So we'll have we'll talk to Tony about his perspective on that hire. Of course, many more things about what Tony's been up to since he announced his retirement. And, of course, we'll dive into that later in the show. We'll say 5:15 or so. About 5:15, we'll have that conversation with Tony Caviglia. Other topics, of course, if you want to dive into any of the topics that we discussed today, Lee's Air Hotline is wide open for you to slide on in. Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430, the way to reach us. Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, sponsoring the Lee's Air Hotline. We also have the Lee's Air Weather Check, and checking out it today, kind of a little strange day today. 90 degrees is our temperature. Is we topped out to there. Kind of cloudy. Kind of, I don't know if it's humid. Is it technically humid? We'll see. Let me check the humidity. 17%. So there's nothing too wild about it. But clouds developing. Not the bright, shiny, sunny sun out there to blind us as usual. But we will be getting those kinds of days over the next few days as well, going into the Memorial Day weekend. Thursday 95, Friday 96, Saturday 94, Sunday 89. We'll dip back down into the 70s by next Tuesday. So the ebb and flow of the stages of May here, it's just been a really nice mild May for everyone out there, and hope you've been enjoying it so far. We will not be at Fashion Furniture tomorrow because we will be broadcasting high school baseball. We will have Redwood and Bullard tomorrow from the D1 semifinals of the CIF Central Section playoffs. 3:45 pregame with a 4 p.m. First pitch from Bullard. We will have that game, myself and Jim Sandrini on the call. So I want to remind you folks that even though we won't be at Fashion tomorrow, it is a great opportunity to get over to Fashion today because Fashion Furniture has their Memorial Day sale going all the way through the weekend and beyond. You can get free local delivery on any minimum purchase of $199.99 or greater. You could get no interest financing for 36 months. That's right, 36 months, no interest financing. 36 monthly payments requiring OAC. You got category starting prices points from recliners at about $297. How about sofas from only $797? Sectionals at $997. Dining sets at $397. How about California Kings beds? You need a new bed? How about from only $397? You got some mattresses as well. Beautyrest, just save some money there. The Beautyrest Black, save up to $1,000 on select mattresses and adjustable base sets. You got the Tempur-Pedic, you could save up to $1,000 there on select mattresses. Stearns & Foster, saving up to $900 on select. Folks, there's a lot of money you can save this Memorial Day sale. Remember, Nautica is a buy one, get one as well. You buy a qualifying Nautica home mattress, get an adjustable base free. So that feels like a steal. And Memorial Day sale will go through this weekend. And I'll tell you what, we'll probably be on as well for a little bit. So take advantage this weekend. Upgrade your furniture only at Fashion Furniture. Nothing like it in all of California. Yeah, we got some topics. A couple days of sports that came by, and we got a lot to get into. High school, of course, NBA, of course. We got a 5 at 5 to do. Like I said, we got the interview, and I have to ask though. Just we got him behind the glass today. Just me and him for 2 hours. Jorge's here, and you know, Jorge, the sun may not be shining on the Giants, and it's not shining on our day today here in Fresno. But regardless, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird sequence with the snakes.
You had full belief, Jorge. You were ready to see the comeback happen. And
I feel like it was a close game last night.
Brutal game last night.
I don't know.
Brutal.
I felt like we had to win and I just let it go. And the day before it was, you know, coming off that
just an absolute shellacking on Monday, 12-2 I think, or something like that, right? I turned it off after a certain amount of
reason. And then the thing is that like we were coming off that 10-0 against
the Athletics, yeah.
So it wasn't
winning 2-3 over the Athletics felt like you had some progress there. That's a team that
we were doing good on this road trip, and then all of a sudden we're not.
You're not winning the close games. You're not winning the blowouts. You're not finding any way to come back. Three different kinds of losses, I would say, today.
Well, at least these last two games, I felt like that we were more into more.
Regardless, like, you're getting blown out in this series, and then you lose a heartbreaker, and then today you just fall behind and can't find a way to come back. No hits in the last four innings of this game, Jorge. When they go down 6-3, where's the urgency there, right?
There's some injuries, you know. There's some injuries.
Injuries, regardless, man. These are major leaguers. They got to step up in every aspect of it. And this is a better team. Chapman's not injured, right? He was playing in this game today. Willy Adames, I know he's a little shaken up. You had, of course, Luis Arraez in the lineup there. He's supposed to be your big, table setter guy.
We're missing Jonghoo Lee, man.
Telling you what, Jonghoo Lee ain't the only guy that's missing for the Giants as far as you missing him ain't the reason you're losing today from the San Francisco Giants perspective. But the confusing thing is just whose roles are on this team, right? Because I think there's a lot of in-betweenness of what this Giants team's facing. You saw the issues last night with the closing situation. I would have rather seen Killian just kind of see a finish in that game. Instead, Tony Vitello decides to go matchup, and immediately goes to Russell Gage. Two outs, turns around Ketel Marte, and Ketel Marte is able to turn around a pitch and send it out on a walk-off homer. And it was just one word uttered from Dwayne Kuiper on the TV broadcast last night, and it was unbelievable. That's all he could say. That was the only words he could say, and that's been kind of the epitome of this season so far, is to give up that, and then you turn it around on today, and Ketel Marte, of course, turns it around on the Giants in a big fashion and blasts a homer that, you know, changes the complexion of the game. And, don't remind me about Monday with the four runs and six pitches You know, everyone's talking about that, which is just quite a remarkable stat if you think about it. Somehow it was replicated back in 2012. I looked at the stat line from the Pittsburgh Pirates, who, if you do recall, the Pittsburgh Pirates in 2012, not an up-and-coming team, but not a playoff team for sure back in that era. But regardless, the Giants are so confusing what they want to do, and this series outlined a lot of confusing roles for this Giants team, and nobody, once again, is stepping up for this team. No one is stepping up and finding ways to get them out of this funk. It just feels like there's a go through the motion, and we will find a way to get to the end of the season, and so be it, and we'll get to our 70 wins, 80 wins, and whatever it is, and won't make the playoffs, and there's no fire. There's no real fire to this team in these last 3 days. This has been, I would say, somewhat of an embarrassing series for the San Francisco Giants, all things considered. And what started as what was kind of an ideal road trip, right? Take 2 of 4 from the Dodgers. You take 2 of 3 from the A's. You're feeling okay about how things have gone. And then you come to the desert, and the Diamondbacks find every which way to beat you up in every fashion of it. I'm hard to say. I don't know if I'm going all the way to gutless in some sense of how they played this week against the Diamondbacks, and just every bit of the aspect of baseball, man. It was brutal to watch these last 3 days, all things considered, from this Giants team. I don't have any other way to put it. It was brutal these last 3 days if you're a Giants fan.
I wouldn't say it was brutal. I think that's overstating something, but I feel like it's a season that's been up and down. It's a season that has.
I don't know what series is more worse than this one, in my opinion. Like, is there a worse series the Giants have played this season?
I mean,
than this one.
I mean, in March or April we weren't doing very well. So
the Yankee series was rough. Like, I'm legitimately trying to find me a worse series this week than what the Diamondback series looked like this year for the Giants. As far as you're not getting the things out of your starting staff, you're not getting the things you need out of your bullpen, and then you're not getting the things out of your need in the late stages from your offense. All aspects of your baseball team quit at one point or another during this road trip against the Diamondbacks. Like, Monday was about the starting pitching just absolutely being horrendous with Robbie Ray, and then Tuesday was the bullpen quitting on you at the end of that one, and then today your offense gives up no hits, creates no hits, zero offense in the last 4 innings. Jorge, that's poor. Nothing generated. That's a poor display of baseball from the San Francisco Giants over the last 3 days. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Well, what do you want me to say?
I don't know. There's
more games to play, and I think
certainly
that we definitely have a good team.
You wish you were in the American League, man. This team would be like 2 games out of a wild card. You know what I mean? Like, that's the difference between it.
You know, we can't all be the Boston Red Sox, you know.
Thank you for letting me know. Doesn't get easier. Because as we joke, the American League is kind of a joke. And what, 4 teams are above 500 right now, and they get one of those this weekend.
Where the White Sox at?
Yeah, the White Sox are above 500. Well, game above Christ. 500, 25 and 24.
We're going to lose to the White Sox.
You're going to lose to the damn White Sox.
You believe that?
More commie in them boys.
The White Sox.
Coming this weekend, man. They are on their way. But in reality, 20 and 30. And just the lack of consistency in what guys' roles are. It's becoming alarming, and we're 2 months into this season, and clearly the Giants have fallen on their face here, and I don't know any which way that can turn this team around.
I feel like you're being a little too pessimistic. Yeah, we're not, you know, clicking right now, but there's
I'm looking
more
at the Twitterverse, man.
Up.
It is bring on.
I don't believe
it is
the Twitterverse.
Bring on the rebuild, man. It is sell bring it off. Bring on the rebuild. Get everyone out of here. Let's reset. Let's
Come
flush
on.
It out.
Come on.
Twitter. Let's flush it out.
I don't believe in Twitter, man.
Sure. It's fine. It's the voice of the people, man. They're not throwing bots out there just to say giant slander. These are real people. I know.
Right.
These ain't Twitter bots just trying to screw with you here. But it's been, you know, almost a disaster. I don't know what can make this season worse, Jorge? Losing more? I don't know. What can create worse a worse situation for this Giants team? What, like Logan Webb goes down with like a Tommy John?
He's already out. I mean,
I know.
Look, what could make it worse is losing.
Rafi Devers just
losing,
quits.
Then it's going to be worse. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, we could sit here and talk about it, but the only wins could make it right, right?
Certainly, winning helps. Winning's a great deodorant, so, as once Bill Parcells said.
So I mean, that's what we want. That's what we need. And the team's got to get to it, you know. But you know,
it's a 4-6 road trip.
I see it. It's we have the team. We have the players. It's difficult.
Certainly have the team. You know? You have the team. You have the players. It's just a 4-6 road trip ain't it. It ain't cutting it for the Giants if they want to get back into this conversation of this division. And you're 10.5 out from the Dodgers. You're 10 games out of the Padres. You're now 6 games back of the Diamondbacks when you were only 3 back coming into this weekend. And now you have the White Sox and you got the Diamondbacks at your house. And now maybe it gets easier because you go to Colorado after that. But then a 4-game set with Milwaukee doesn't get easy. Then 3-game set against Chicago, that ain't easy. 3-game set at home against Washington, that team scores more runs than anybody out there when it comes to their offense. Oh, guess what? By the way, you get the Cubs back again, who are one of the hottest teams in baseball. It does not get easier for this Giants team moving forward in this year. Oh, and guess what? By the way, on the back end of that, you got the Braves, who are the best team in baseball at the moment. So it's just not.
So just let us go on vacation then, right?
Sure. I don't know why. Sell it off, man. Let's get the fire sale going. Let's make it happen. I'm ready to sell it all.
You're crazy.
I'm ready to sell it all.
That's crazy.
Sell low, buy high. I don't know. No. This team does not deserve to play baseball the way they're playing right now. That was a pitiful series this week against the Diamondbacks. Couldn't put it any worse than that. Your pitching quit. Your starting pitching quit on day one. Your bullpen quit on day two. And your offense quit on day three. That's all. There's no other ends around it. There's no other ends around it. There's no other way to describe
it. You're reading too many tweets, bro.
All right. I'll get off Twitter. All right. Let's take a break. Let's talk about something a little more fun. The NBA's been cool the last couple of days, huh? How about those conference finals?
Yeah, it wouldn't be out of this world, man.
Let's talk about that next on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. And we will have the conference finals coming up on our 1430 and 790 stations here. And the first time we will have those games, it's going to be actually on Friday over in 790. Western Conference Finals Game 3 from San Antonio. You got the Thunder and the Spurs going at it, 5 p.m. on 790, then we will go to the Cavs and the Knicks from Cleveland Game 3 on Saturday. It's going to be every other day, switching back and forth, Game 3 on Friday and Saturday. And then on Sunday, we have Game 4s. On Sunday and Monday, Tuesday, we'll come back. We got the NBA Western Conference Finals Game 5 between the Thunder and the Spurs over there. So let's talk about those two games, right? Because, come on, game ones, which one was better? I don't even know. It's a hard one for me to pick, man, because the last two games feel like instant classics in some form or fashion. You had the Knicks last night coming back from down 22 with 8 minutes to go and just absolutely grabbing the game by the you-know-what and pulling it in their direction. The Bunsen burner, of course, as everyone likes to call him, Jalen Brunson, making it happen. Here's a disparity. From 7:40 on in the fourth quarter in overtime, the Knicks outscored the Cavaliers 44-11. Yes, 44-11 in basketball. That's a pretty tough run for anybody to overcome. 15-21 from the field for the Cavs. Or for the Knicks, between the Cavs, who were 4-18. You had 3-point field goal percentage. The Knicks, 6-9 from 3. You had the Cavs, 2-11. The shocking aspect of it all is that the Cavs only got to the free throw line four times in that game in the last 7:40 in the fourth quarter to overtime. Just four. And that's crazy to consider because they have James Harden. That James Harden who gets to the line better than anybody, and Donovan Mitchell who can create contact in some aspects, and yet they only get two whistles and sent to the free throw line two times for four shots. That's hard to believe because that's their game, man. If they got to the line maybe like eight more times, we'd be talking about a different story last night, and the Cavs would come away with game one victory over the Knicks. But instead, it's the Knicks, the comeback, and make it happen, knock off the Rush, knock off the Cavs, and beat them in game one. And that game reminded me of another game one there. And it reminded me of game one of 2018 against the Cavs and the Warriors in the NBA Finals when the Warriors and the Cavaliers were fighting for the tooth and nail last possession. The Cavs had the opportunity to take the lead, misses the free throw. J.R. Smith runs around and loses his damn mind and somehow just dribbles out the basketball game in the overtime because he forgot what score it was, and you get the classic LeBron meme, of course. So that's what it reminded me last night, because it felt like if the Cavs got that one, we'd be having a totally different conversation about how 2018 would go between the Warriors and the Cavs, and we'd have to talk about a 6 or 7-game series, huh? But no. Warriors came back. Warriors got that win. And it was an avalanche from there. I believe that ended in a sweep. With a 4-game sweep, the Golden State Warriors won their third title in 4 years. Yeah, that's quite something, huh? That's what it feels like last night for me. The Knicks taking that one, stealing it from the Cavaliers' soul. And ending up with the victory last night, man. That is going to be one the Cavaliers are going to be kicking themselves over time and time again. The Knicks have outscored their opponents by 196 in their last 8 games, best by any team over an 8-game span within a season in NBA history. Hottest team in basketball right now, the New York Knicks. Verifiably, because of course, we saw the Thunder go down in their first loss of the postseason. 15-0 is hard, man. Everyone was talking about this Thunder team finding a way to win every single game in this postseason. Halfway there, they couldn't do it. And it was from one man, Mr. Wembanyama, which, you know, everyone likes this league because it's a copycat league a little bit, right? Everyone talks about it. I think you hear it more in the NFL. But I would consider the NBA a little copycat as well. Did that spot on the court look familiar where Wemby pulled up in overtime, down 3? I'll give you a second to think about it. I'll take you back 10 years. Let's take you back to what I would say people consider the greatest game in NBA history in the regular season. Of course, the Thunder and the Warriors matching up. This is Durant before he left to go play Golden State. I think this was the spawning moment to make him realize, yeah, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, that's a group I want to play with. Draymond Green, I want to be teammates with those guys. I remember where I was. I was at a pizza joint here in Fresno. I was at, what was the side streets? I think Willow and Ashland. Is that where I was? I think that sounds right. There was a pizza joint, Willow and Ashland. Don't think it's, I think it's under a different name now. I don't know why I was watching this game. I don't know where I think I was coming after a Fresno State basketball game, if I'm not mistaken, or a Fresno State football game. Regardless, it was a cold, chilly night in Fresno. We wrap up. We want to get pizza. We go get pizza. And we're sitting there, and I'm watching this game on a small screen, kind of like one in the studio. And this thing's coming down to the wire. Suddenly, I'm very interested in the game because, of course, this Warriors team was a revolution at the time, right? 2016 Warriors, huh? And, of course, we know the shot. Steph Curry goes, pulls up from basically the logo. You know the call. Bang, bang, Mike Breen, there with it. Of course, Tirico meets the moment in 2 nights ago with the Wemby shot, and pretty much identical situations. Although Steph Curry's one won it, Wemby shot tied it, sent it to double overtime. Spurs found a way. And there you go, the Spurs lead game one and take game one, and they are up in the series 1-0 over the surely impenetrable OKC Thunder, man. This is certainly a team that everyone thought there were no weaknesses. There's no weaknesses on this team. There's no way anybody can beat him. Well, there's one way. It's facing a human being we've never seen before. And the way he plays, and Victor Wembanyama, who played with some edge 2 nights ago, and he's ready to play with some edge tonight, man. Question I have for this game tonight is, did the Spurs spend it all there in that one, or do the Spurs have the Thunder's number from this season, and are they ready to replicate what will be coming at them in this entire game, which they led for the most part. Wemby's 41. His 41 points. Well, 41 and 24, by the way. Youngest player in NBA history to have a 40 and 20 in a playoff game, and rebounds and points. Crazy. It's just a remarkable couple of games we watched the last 2 days, man. I am marveling at the level of basketball that we are getting. People can complain about how the sport is being played at the moment, but I am fascinated at how these games have gone and how these games have come along over the last few days. But can't wait for what is going to be in store for games two tomorrow. And then, of course, we will have the games, game threes, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday and Monday. Who knows if these things go longer? We'd like to believe so. I feel more like the West is definitely going to go a little further. Of course, I'll book it now. I'll call my shot. This Knicks series is done. It's a sweep. So we'll see how it goes. Anyways, all right. You want to take a break? Ready to take a break? Let's take a break. Thumbs up for Jorge. Take a break. We'll come back, wrap up this hour next on 1430 ESPN. Like the legend of the Phoenix. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. And we were really reminiscing, going down the memory lane NBA-wise. But these two games have done that to us, huh? These two games have really given a lot for us to pay attention to. Jorge back on this on the mic a little bit here. And I wonder, because you've watched the last two games in the last 2 days, and like I said, we're going to be broadcasting these games coming up, game three on Friday, game three on Saturday as well. Game three for the West on Friday, game three on the East side Saturday, and so on, so on. We'll have a game pretty much every day on the station. Just check your listings. Jorge, we're going to get game ones like this, man. These series are going to be pretty insane. Which game were you more impressed with in just terms of excitement? Like, you're going to remember more that Spurs Wemby performance and that double overtime game against the Thunder, or are you going to remember the comeback by the Knicks from last night against the Cavs?
Then the Knicks comeback was really impressive.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I feel that Wemby game was insane.
Right.
I honestly haven't seen that type of like playing by one
mm-hmm.
individual since probably LeBron was losing the finals,
like the Miami final, like when he was winning the finals against OKC in some sense. Like, people, if you want to go
when they beat the Warriors.
Oh, in that 17.
That sense of like urgency and mm-hmm. type of like, I need to be at my best.
To me, it's the 12 finals LeBron did against the Thunder with KD and Westbrook and that team.
Yeah.
Who everyone thought was going to be like psychotically good against them. And then LeBron, at the height of everything, looked impossible to stop.
Yeah.
In 2012. And then same with 2013 when they beat San Antonio, although it took a Ray Allen shot to come back and win that thing. You know, so that's a little bit of a different side. So to me, the 2012 LeBron season, the 2012 LeBron finals run feels like the most equivalent to that. Or maybe, are we talking Steph Curry performances in NBA finals where it's just like his 16 finals was not great. And people, a lot of people, you know, the Curry stats in the finals isn't ideal, but like there's some big moments in the postseason that Curry gets. His 22 finals, though, that game against Boston, I want to say it was a game five against Boston where he had just absolutely laid it out there against the Celtics. I don't think there was any comp to that, but there are a few players that you're saying, like, I don't think I've ever seen that before. You're right. I think Wemby is something we've never seen before, obviously, physically. But, like, you see in specifically that three-pointer he hit in overtime, where it's like they're down three with, like, 30 seconds to go, Jorge, and he just dribbles up the court and just shoots a logo three and knocks it down like it's warm-up jumpers and ties the game at 108-108. And I'm like, how the hell do you defend that? How the hell do you justify being able to stop that? Because there's no way you can. It was remarkable, man. Moments on moments. Who do you think has an upper hand tonight? Did OKC wear out San Antonio from game one because they gave San Antonio such a ride through double overtime that OKC's depth feels like a team that can at least manage the exhaustion from 2 days ago better than what the Spurs can? Or have the Spurs gain the upper hand here because they took game one and they drew blood against the Thunder tonight, and now there's really some blood in the water for them to take advantage of?
Well, I think you have to look at, I don't know how the both teams come in, and I think both teams gave it all they had in game one.
Right.
I think it's going to be probably a slower game.
Mm-hmm.
But whoever takes advantage of you know, like you said, OKC has a better depth chart, so maybe they'll be the ones coming up. But at the same time, I'll never count out this Wembanyama team.
No, not anymore. He has arrived, and you thought we were going to get sick of the Thunder, Jorge. Guess what? This Spurs team ain't going anywhere, man. He's only 22. He's only 22 years old. That's crazy, man.
This literally feels like his time.
His coming out party, man.
Yeah.
Like, this is Steph in 16. This is LeBron in 07, right?
Yeah.
When he had that awesome game against Detroit in the Eastern Conference Finals, that I think he had a game-winner shot over and beat that last glimpses of that kind of Pistons team back in the day, right?
Yeah, it's definitely different. It just feels like, you know, I like whenever I would watch Kobe in 01 or 2.
That's right, Kobe in like the 2007 to 2010 range when they won a couple times.
I know I'm saying all these names, but it really does feel like that. Like this right. guy who, you know, even in, what was it, 2000, when the same Spurs won it with Robinson and Duncan.
Yeah, and back in
99, yeah. This is some good basketball.
You can never count it out, man. You can never count it out between that player. This is becoming the territory of you can never count it out if you have this player. Just a matter of, can it be sustainable over seven games? Will he have the sustainability? And will he not do something dumb? Flying some elbows around?
Yeah.
You know?
He's still young. I mean, he's still learning.
Like, you see him bowl over Alex Caruso at the game. Like, yeah. He was trying to establish a low position. He just totally charged him, and Caruso got sent to, like, you know, he got sent to almost to the end of the other
another dimension.
Another dimension, basically. I don't think the Thunder, Caruso, valiant effort, man. I don't think Caruso is the guy that should be defending Wemby. You know, like, let's get size on size, man. Use it at least. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, remarkable.
Different type of player.
Basketball, we're in a good spot right now. At least with the product. I don't know. I think these games have been compelling. This series could be compelling. I'm not convinced. I'm also, by the way, and a lot of people feel this way, I'm not convinced that the West is determining a champion. I'm not convinced of that. I think the Knicks really have a legit shot here. And, yeah, you could say, well, down 22 to the Cavs, they can't play like that again. I'm like, and they know that. But also understand that not many teams can come back from down 22 like that and go and win a basketball game. The Knicks absolutely can shoot the lights out right now. And they are blowing teams out when they get the opportunity. They won by double digits, Jorge. They're down 22 with 7:40 to go in the fourth quarter, and they end up winning by double digits. Like, who does that? Nobody. I can't think of anybody that could do that in the NBA this year. And yet the Knicks able to do that. It's crazy. It's insane stuff. Anyways. Excuse me. NBA, man. It's been fun. It's been fun for 2 days. I cannot wait to see what goes down the next seven. Okay. I did want to touch on some high school sports, and we had some games last night. We called Bullard yesterday. Great job by Bullard getting a victory, 9-1. And so I want to do a little scoreboard run through for the folks out there and tell you who's playing tomorrow. Because there's some interesting developments in the playoffs. And of course, tomorrow is the day where we get to see who advances to go to Valley Strong Ballpark in Visalia. You know, depending on what division you are, you're going to go a certain day or not. So let's start with Division One, because there's some crazy games in Division One. Like we said, Bullard beat Clovis North last night, 9-1. Awesome pitching performance from the Bullard Knights, just giving up the one run and really stifling some rallies there from Clovis North. Redwood, 12-0 over Centennial, and Redwood is the most dangerous 11 seed I think we've ever seen in college or in the CIF bracket here. They got a stud going tomorrow, and they got Buller tomorrow, and we got this game tomorrow that you can listen to right here on 1430 ESPN tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Book it. On the flip side, we really could have had some chaos, man. We were close, so close to chaos. Bullard was up. Late stages, bottom of the sixth, but then Liberty of Bakersfield able to score a few runs, scratch it across, and win 11-9 over Buchanan. I said it was first to 10. I know I said that to a couple people. It was going to be first to 10.
So Buchanan was up.
Buchanan was up, but okay. Liberty came back and won of their own crib, 11-9, beating Buchanan. The Bears are out of the D1 playoffs. And we almost had an upset over at St. Joe's. Rigetti was up, my understanding, 9-7, going to the bottom half of the seventh inning. St. Joe's was able to walk it off and win 10-9 and beat Rigetti. And so we have a little bit of chalk going into that other semifinal. It is St. Joe's hosting Liberty of Bakersfield for the D1 semifinal CIF Central Section championship spot. So St. Joe's and Liberty on one side, Redwood and Bullard on the other. We'll have one of those games, the Bullard and Redwood game. Can't wait to bring it to you. That's tomorrow. That's a D1. Winner moves on to the championship, which I would say all than likely we're going to be doing next Saturday, 6 o'clock from Visalia. So, Jorge, I would pencil that in into our schedule. Either, regardless, Bullard or Redwood, whoever advances, we'll have that game.
Okay.
Sound good?
I think that's the day that Paul usually does his show from
the ballpark.
Because right?
they have a game at 1 earlier that day. I think it's D6 has a championship at 1 o'clock that day.
I know we did it one time like that. I don't know if he's doing it again.
We can pitch it. We can pitch it. I'll pitch it to him. He's got to bring the equipment. One time, I don't need to bring the equipment. He gets to bring the equipment. D2 had another low seed make it through. Had few upsets in this bracket, right from the first day. So we saw some strange seeding matchups here. Bakersfield Christian, not strange seeding matchup. They're a one seed in that one. They ended up beating Fresno High 4-1. Good ball game. Fresno High battling with Bakersfield Christian. That's tight, but 4-1, they get the win. Bakersfield Christian moved on. They will face Clovis East. Yes, the Timberwolves got a 10-0 win over Lompoc at Clovis East. Clovis East was a 12 seed. They earned a home game because Lompoc was able to upset LD. And so 10-0, Clovis East wins last night. They will advance, and they have to head down to Bakersfield Christian Thursday. I have the scheduled time on Max Preps at 3:30, so pretty early start time for that one between Bakersfield Christian and Clovis East. Rio Grande beats Paso Robles 9-3, so they advance, and they'll have another home game because, remember, the two-seed Ridgeview got knocked out by Hanford back on Friday last week. Hanford got to go to Tulare Western, and Western got a 10-2 win over Hanford last night. So Tulare Western and Arroyo Grande matchup tomorrow in Arroyo Grande, 4:30 first pitch, according to Max Preps. D2 final is next Friday at 7:30 from Valley Strong Ballpark. Remember, we broadcasted the D2 final last year. Of course, Ridgeview beating Kingsburg that time. Big upset. Big upset in D3, Jorge. Central Valley Christian knocks out the one seed, Kingsburg, 4-3 last night. That is a massive one there. And Kingsburg down and out. So they miss out, and it's CVC getting it done on the road. Yeah.
Yeah.
We had that game earlier this year.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. They had a pretty good team. I remember that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They go now. They travel the road because they got the 4-seed Edison Tigers out of Fresno here.
Okay.
Edison got a 5-4 win over Lemoore last night.
5-4.
So Edison thought they were packing their bags and shipping down to Kingsburg on Thursday, but guess what? No. Get that diamond ready over at the Tigerville. 4:30 first pitch. Edison CVC in a semifinal for a chance to play in the D3 championship. How about Justin Garza getting a 9-2 win over Pioneer Valley? Pioneer Valley upset Selma in that first round, so they were 15 seed, allowed Justin Garza to have the home game. Garza's now going to go to Garces and take on Garces Memorial. Garces Memorial won 8-4 over Templeton last night. So in D3, here's your quarter or your semifinals, Edison and CVC and Garces Memorial and Justin Garza. The championship is Thursday night at 6 p.m. in Valley Strong Ballpark. D4, Menachie, 11-6 victors over Highland. They are the one seed. They advance. They'll take on the 4-seed Santa Ynez. It says chalk there, 5-2 over Nipomo. So Menachie hosting Santa Ynez tomorrow. That's at 4:30. And then Emmanuel, 8-7 over Wasco. That seems like a fun game over there at Emmanuel. Emmanuel head on the road and take on Reedley. Ain't that a little bit of a fun rivalry, Jorge? Reedley and Emmanuel. That'll be fun. Reedley ended up winning 1-0 over Golden West. So Reedley hosts Emmanuel tomorrow at, Friday at 4:30.
Sounds like a classic.
Yeah. So winners of those games will play the championship Wednesday night at 6 p.m. in the D4 championship. So D5 real quick, Shafter, 9-1 win over Dos Palos. You had Sierra getting a 6-4 win over Yosemite, so it's the 1-4. Shafter hosting Sierra tomorrow at 4:30. Chavez beats McLean 8-2. They will head to take on Minarets, who wins 7-6. Minarets, a 2-seed, will host tomorrow against Chavez. And, of course, the winner of that one will play Friday at 4 p.m. at Valley Strong for the D5 championship. D6, here you go. Corcoran, 14-4 winner over California City. They will face Orange Cove, who beat Woodlake, upset them on the road. They're a 5-seed. They look to continue their road success when they take on Corcoran. That's a Friday game, by the way, 4:30. Corcoran hosting Orange Cove on Friday. And then the other side of the bracket, Matilda Torres, 13-5 over Rosamond. As a 6-seed on the road, nicely done. Roosevelt defends home field. They get a 14-7 win over Boron. So Roosevelt High here in Fresno hosting Matilda Torres. That's at 4:30. Winners will advance to Saturday's 1 p.m. championship in the D6 finals in Visalia. Got it all there, Jorge?
Pretty much, yeah. Good games. Sounds like it's going to be fun.
Love this time of year. But also, we got the CIF Central Section meet this week, I think.
Track,
right?
Yeah, that's about right.
And then state tracks next week? If I'm not mistaken. I do it here in Clubs. I know. Over at Buchanan.
No, but I thought they do it at the park.
Well, that's cross country. The Woodland?
Oh, okay. Woodward? Yeah, Woodward Park. Yeah.
It's different. Softball finals, too. I didn't get a chance to softball. Billion things happening right now in spring sports. It's crazy. All right, Jorge, let's take a break. Hour number two coming up next on 1430 ESPN.
From local high school sports,
it's good to be joined by our student athlete of the week. Anthony, how's it feel to be a student athlete of the week?
Feels good, man.
To your Fresno State Bulldogs.
Pleasure to always have Coach Entz in the building here. And Coach, how are you doing on this Tuesday night?
Doing good. Doing really good.
When the athletic director of Fresno State drops in here at ESPN Fresno. Garrett, it's good to have you in.
You know, we're just grinding every day trying to get better. But, man, beautiful weather right now.
And voices from the pros.
On ESPN Fresno with Sean Merriman, Charger linebacker. Great.
Man, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Q Myers joining me now. He's with the Raiders, of course.
Man, I love Fresno. Yeah. I really do, man.
Rick Neuheisel here with us on ESPN Fresno.
It is a treat to be on ESPN Fresno.
This is your home for all things sports. Hosted by Phil Bonatti. Breaking it down, calling it like it is, and taking you behind the game. This is Behind the Bench on ESPN Fresno.
That is right. Behind the Bench here on 4030 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here. Hour number two, usually our hour number three, typically if we start at 3 o'clock. But we, of course, start a little late because the Giants baseball game, of course, wrapped up earlier today. Don't want to get any more into that. That is always a spicy topic, especially in these parts. But we are here and we are, of course, ready to provide some good sports content to you. Tony Caviglia joining me in this hour. Fresno City, retired Fresno City football coach. Jorge, you've had some run-ins with Mr. Tony Caviglia, local legend. Excited to get him on the mic here again. Of course, his retirement news. One that, you know, you always, as a fan of Fresno City, are sure, you know the day could come. But, of course, this guy earns every bit of recognition he deserves. And I'm sure you've had some run-ins when you were covering back in Fresno City with the football
like
team.
9 years ago.
Yeah, right?
9 years ago, yeah, I was covering football for the Rampage at City.
Right.
And they had a great season. They had this running back from Edison who was really good.
Yeah,
I can't. I forget his name, but they won the bowl game that year. Mm-hmm. Here at in the stadium, Radcliffe Stadium. I had a great year that year, and one of those, you know, years that just tells you what kind of coach he is. Because
consistent, man.
Yeah,
consistent. Yeah. They never had a losing season.
Yeah.
Never and, had a losing season.
And they had tough games, and then they came back and, you know, they went on and got to those bowl games and won them.
Right. And think of all the teams, of course, and the players that come through, and not just the players that came through, but we're talking the players they had to face too. Like, tell me a run of quarterbacks that Fresno City's had to deal with, like Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, to name a few.
Yeah, at one point, yeah.
Got any others? I'm trying to think of some others that went through through who they played. But those are the big two I can think of.
Yeah, I'm sure there's more out there. There's plenty more out there.
Sure there is.
Some that play with Fresno State, some Fresno City, some that play with against Fresno City.
Right.
But there's definitely, you know, those type of coaches that, you know, you'll remember forever.
NFL MVPs, man. How many MVPs between Allen and Rodgers? It's like five?
I think, yeah, because Rodgers got four. And, got one.
Allen just got the one. Of course, Rodgers announcing or quote unquote announcing. I don't know.
Rodgers was only 1 year, I think.
No, he won. He won like four.
No. I'm saying he was at Butte. I think 1 year.
Yeah, Butte College 1 year, and then he went to Cal in 2005, if I want to say, and then 2007 he was drafted.
No, he was drafted 2005.
He was drafted 2005, so he was at Cal like 2003 and 2004.
2004.
And then he was at Butte 2002. I bet. Yeah. Okay. Wow, that makes a little sense. Aaron Rodgers announcing he's going to retire at the end of the year. You ready for the Aaron Rodgers retirement tour? It's a shame Daniel's not here for me to mess with him about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think he knows it's his time. I think Aaron finally decided that, you know, I think he's not a type like Brady who said, yeah, I'll retire, but not really wanting to retire.
He doesn't want anybody to know he's retiring, though. This feels so Rodgers because it's going to be so look at Rodgers the whole time. All of the cameras are going to be on Aaron Rodgers the entire season, Jorge. It's like the NFL knew. It's like they called up Aaron and said, hey, is this going to be your last season? Confirming that he did. And then, of course, now, how many prime times did they get? Standalone games, the Steelers have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, potentially 7, potentially 8 standalone games, Jorge. Ready for a lot of Aaron Rodgers shoved in your face this whole season?
I don't understand why, like, it fits farewell tour, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like every team he faces should give him, like, a present.
Just like the Mario and Rivera.
Right?
Tour. Right.
They give him a guitar.
The problem is he can't go to every city.
Ah, that's true.
He only gets 8 of those. Wait, how many road games?
Get to
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He's only got 8 road games this year, Mr. Rodgers.
Yeah,
I wasn't
thinking of that, but yeah, it's only. Well, I got at least someone could give him a present.
Who do you think would give the best present? Let's see. New England's got. He's got his first road game at New England.
New England.
You know?
I don't feel like they would.
They'll just boo him.
Care much.
Cleveland?
Maybe for multiple times he beat them.
Yeah?
I don't know.
He doesn't beat them much that often. Aaron Rodgers doesn't beat Cleveland much. Tampa? A lot of people retire to Tampa. Maybe they give him like a lifetime membership to the retirement home in Tampa, like one of the best, nicest retirement homes. They say, hey, you know, lifetime membership once you become a certain age. Oh, a golf cart in Tampa?
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Cincy? Can't imagine too much coming from Cincy. Philadelphia, they'll just throw batteries at him. You know what I mean? Jacksonville, I can't think of much. Tennessee, it's country music you can listen to. It's a guitar. I feel like Aaron Rodgers is a guitar guy. I feel like he's a guitar guy. And then Baltimore. I don't know. I don't know if you can give the same farewell tour you can get that we see Major League Baseball players get. Like we do with the NFL players.
Yeah,
it's a little tricky.
Yeah, that wouldn't be the same.
Little bit tricky, huh? And regardless, congrats to the preemptive retirement, Mr. Rodgers. This will be a completely obnoxious story by the time we roll out to like week 5. Hey, so one thing happened while we were away the last day or two. Pac-12 Mountain West pauses the lawsuit, and they're working towards a settlement. You see this news come through here, Jorge, about the leagues potentially finding a way to settle it all.
Yeah, I believe Tony talked about it yesterday. He mentioned that they want to settle things because they don't want to drag it out.
Basically. No, of course not.
They feel like things maybe were a little bit out of hand, but they don't want to be.
You can't not react. Like, if you're the Mountain West, I get it. You can't, like, not react to the whole situation, right? You have to show some sort of power and structure and response to a situation like that. You have to show that to your members there that they cannot leave without consequence. And yet, you know that the Pac-12 was in a strong position because they were in a situation where they needed help in that operation. Schools came to their aid. And it's not like these teams were looking to get rich in some form or fashion. The opportunity was there to help a league and make the league happen. And I think both the situation shows that both leagues are going to be able to sustain itself afterwards. It's not like the Mountain West is dead here. They've found a way to recoup what they've created, and now they have a member here, a membership of Air Force, Hawaii, Nevada, New Mexico, Northern Illinois, North Dakota State, San Jose State, UNLV, UTEP, and Wyoming, a 10-team league. Pac-12 will have eight with Boise, Colorado, Fresno, San Diego, Texas State, Utah State, of course, with Oregon State and Washington State, you know. So understanding that what's the actual damage here to both conferences based off of these moves, it feels like the betterment of everything and everyone put in the work to make these both sustainable conferences here moving forward. And I get it. I get why the settlement needs to happen. And, you know, I think this is good news for everyone. Just get it out of here. Get us focused into what we will now see with the moving in forward into this new conference. I'm glad that our people at Fresno State and the people at the Pac-12 don't have to worry about this anymore. More focus on what will be the new chapter in college football and in college sports and college basketball. And wow, man, this college basketball conference is going to be insane. This college baseball conference is going to be insane. It is. This is such an upgrade, and I cannot wait to look at it and watch it play out. And I'm just glad that the courts are starting to get out of the whole situation. Let's go play some ball, right? That's all I need.
Yeah, definitely. It's going into this new Pac-12 at this moment. I think it's like the perfect moment for everybody right now. It just feels like if you didn't go into this, you were kind of being left behind.
Right.
And I think
get on the gravy train, man.
Yeah, I think I'm anticipating a lot of things happening differently, and you know, Fresno State becoming a little bit more of a household name.
Of course, you know? Of course, and this conference allows you to do that because you are not buried under 12 teams. You have eight teams. The spotlight is greater. The share is larger in this conference, right?
And yeah, and the CW games are going to be, you know, part of ESPN now.
Exactly. It's a remarkable, nice TV package where a lot more sports fans are going to access your brand.
Yep.
This is such a better situation. I cannot emphasize that enough. We know that. That's the given here. But now, let's get the courts out of this. Let's get the courts done with it. Let's move on. Let's play some ball. Let's get to our Pac-12 era. I want to see the branding. I want to see what this looks like. We saw the logo. By the way, that logo looks sweet. We saw that spring game. We saw them unveil that logo. Yeah. They were at every single spring game same day for all the Pac-12 member teams. They all had the spring game the same day, and they unveiled the logo that day. I thought that was really cool.
So. Yeah. Yeah. It does feel like the Pac-12 is back.
Pack is back, man. I was going to look at the odds. I was going to look at the odds of the Pac-12 football. I'm wondering if they had some odd sheet because there were some teams. Pac-12 odds football here. And I'm wondering.
Like you're talking about individually or like by
who's going to win the Pac-12 this year?
Oh, okay.
Based off the betting odds. Currently sitting after spring. Or if you had to take a guess, man. Let's do it. Let's
just football, right? This
football, yeah. Football.
Who's gonna win the Mountain?
Who's gonna win the Pac? You gotta stop saying Mountain West. You can't say Mountain West, man. You come
can't
on.
Say that.
Pac 12. Who's winning the Pac 12 next year? Can you give me a guess of who's number one?
Ooh.
Plus 155.
I definitely feel Fresno State has a legitimate shot at winning it.
I like that too. I'd like to think that too.
Although. I do believe that maybe Washington State has a step above us.
Okay.
But I want to see.
Think what the public would think.
What the public would think? I know they'll probably go Boise State, probably.
Bingo. They're the favorites at plus 155. I know you hate it.
I don't see it.
Sure.
I don't see it.
Free money. Free money for the Fresno State odds. I'll get to it next. Who's number two?
That's got to be Washington, right?
No, sir.
No? San Diego?
San Diego, plus really? 360.
Huh.
Number three, shocking. Shocking.
Is that Oregon State?
No.
Okay. Not that shocking then.
No.
Ooh. Is it Utah?
No.
Really?
Yeah. Shocking.
Texas Tech?
Texas State is number three.
Well,
at plus 550.
I think they were top in their conference.
Sure.
So I want to say they recruit well
sure.
in Texas.
It's a different ball game over here, though.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Definitely.
Number four, Jorge.
That's got to be Wazoo.
Wazoo, yeah, plus 750. Now, are we stealing the Fresno State fans starting to see the red here a little bit? That we're not even a plus four favorite to win the Pac-12 this year in football, and I feel great about this team. I feel incredibly fantastic about the consistency and the continuity of this team, and yet cannot get a top four odds, Vegas odds to win the Pac-12. Is that some sort of motivation, huh?
I don't get why.
Plus 800, Fresno State sits at number five right now to win the Pac-12. Then you have Utah State at plus 1,100. Then you got Oregon State at plus 3,000. Colorado State sits in the basement at plus 4,000. That feels a little, you know, shaky.
Yeah.
Very results-oriented from last year. I'll tell you what. Last year ain't this year. Things change. Teams change. A lot of players change. Transfer portal, man, that thing is whirly and turly and moving around. And I know it's not crazy out there in the football land, but, man, retain and retain and retain. That's all it's been for this Fresno State roster, man.
So I just don't think Boise State has that anymore.
That's
power
that's the
that
problem.
They had back then.
But you're not thinking about the odds the way you've got to think about the odds here, Jorge. The odds are about what the public thinks. People. The people just see the Bronco logo, and they say, well, that's the team that wins the conference. They won it this past year in the Mountain West, remember?
Yeah.
So what's to say the public ain't going to bet on that? You know? I know you don't see it, and we beat them. We beat the hell out of them. Not just beat them down.
Yeah.
You know? And yet, perception tells you that Bronco logo is always going to be a public money favorite number one. It's not about the odds being set because they think Boise's the best team. No, the odds are set because Boise's the most betted team. Folks, that plus 800 is going to be free money for Fresno State if you really believe, huh?
Free money.
Free money?
Free money.
You like free money?
I honestly think Texas State is...
This is going to be a tough game in San Marcos.
It's more legitimate. It's going to be tougher than what Boise is.
It's fascinating, too, to consider that we'll have two against San Diego. One in San Diego, one potentially in Fresno, if that flex week works out. We have Boise at home, but we get road games. Of those top four teams, we get three of them on the road. Just consider that a little bit. That road schedule is really going to be tough for Fresno State next year. Consider that. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Mr. Tony Caviglia is going to join us next on 1430 ESPN. It is a pleasure to be joined in studio by a legend here in the Central Valley, of course, as you know him. Tony Caviglia joins me now, and first time talking with him, a retired coach of Fresno City side of things, which I know for you it was an interesting choice to transition to the retired life. But, Tony, appreciate you coming on by and chatting.
Yeah, appreciate being invited to come down here and I'm still dealing with retirement. Not sure exactly what's in store. I don't know if I'm happy or sad or what. But I've been coaching football for now 45 years and 27 over at City, and I think it's time to let somebody else take the reins.
Long time, man. Long time. But what led? What? Why now? Did this feel like the time for you?
Yeah, it just felt right. I think our program is in a really good spot right now. We really had a young football team that was talented. Guys played really good last year. We got great support here in this community. Our culture is good. Our things are rolling. And I think I left the program in a good spot, and it was a good time to make a break. Just excited to see what's gonna happen down the road.
Right, the history, the rich traditions that Fresno City has, and of course, you being there for so long with this team, and you know, talking about just in the grand scheme of things, because now you ran retrospective and what you've kind of accomplished there. Tell me a little bit about, you know, the kind of culture you wanted to build at Fresno City and what you've seen transpire over your time at Fresno City.
I just think if you were going to put a moniker on our time there, it would be consistency. We never had a losing season in 27 years, which is something I'm extremely proud of. It's hard to win football games with 2-year players that come in and out every year. You know, the 4-year guys complain about the portal and guys transferring, and
right.
You know, we've lived that for a number of decades, and that's the junior college way. But we've been a consistent winner. You know, 224 games at Fresno City College in 27 years is a lot of wins. But you don't do that unless you have a support staff, coaching staff, and great players and really great feeder programs here in Fresno give you access to kids that really love the game of football and want to use football to get other places and maybe turn their life around. So that's pretty much what I'm proud of.
And of course, in this day and age, college football, there's a lot of folks with a lot of different agendas in those situations. But when you come to JUCO, when you get guys who come to JUCO, guys who come to coach at JUCO, there's a real investment in what they're trying to accomplish there. And I got to imagine you don't get the duplicity of what goes on at JUCO. And is that why, I'm curious, of why you that kind of drew you to this spot and you stayed around for as long as you did?
Yeah, it's a interesting level. You know, in high school, you're trying to win games and trying to get your kids to colleges. You know, at the 4-year college, you're trying to recruit players into your colleges.
Mm-hmm.
At our level, we're trying to recruit them, get them into our school, and also get them out and get them recruited. So we got to hit it on both ends, and that makes the job a little tougher than most people know, but. One thing you have about with junior college players is you got kids that are, they're hungry, they want to be there, mm-hmm. they're not on scholarship, they don't have their hand out. All they want to do is have an opportunity to play the game of football that they love, and start get off to a good start academically, and use what we have to offer to get them to the next level. Those are great kids to have to spend your time with.
The rewarding part too, right? When you watch these guys just develop into what they become, right? From when you bring them in as true freshmen to when you let them go after their sophomore season, those valuable like 24 months, man, I got to feel like that's rewarding when you see a guy really blossom like that.
Well, there's a thousand stories of guys that have come to us and 5 years later, they're coming back and they got things rolling like they're supposed to be. And they're successful. They got great families, and not all of them go play in the NFL, right? Or even go play Division I football. But most all of them have moved on to bigger and better things. And I just love when I hear guys graduate. One of the coaches told me we had 37 guys graduate from 4-year colleges this year, which to me is special. And then if they go on to play at Fresno State or if they go on to play other places, we get to follow them and watch them.
Mm-hmm.
But the big picture is, what are they going to do for society? What kind of father they're going to be? What kind of family man they're going to be? And some of these guys made turned a corner big time to get rolling in the right direction.
You mentioned the like thousand stories you can think of to it, but maybe I'm gonna put you in a hard spot here. But is there a couple stories that come to mind from your time that stand out about guys kind of going through the system and doing it the right way from what you saw when you were a coach at Fresno City?
Oh yeah, I mean there's Kyle Biggs at Central High School is one of them. I mean, Kyle was a quarterback my second year here. He went to Merced College his first year out of high school, and just still trying to figure out his life and where he wanted to be. And I believe his the time he spent at Fresno City College kind of got him pointed in the right direction. And then to see the success that he's had at Central High School is amazing. And he figured it out, and that's good to see. On and on, let alone the NFL guys that came and weren't even the best players on our team, like such as Matt Giordano, wasn't even the best player on our football team at Fresno City College.
Right.
Now he played 6 years in the NFL and coaching at Chicago now. Marquise Williams is the same guy, right? I'm looking at Bullard High School right over your shoulder, and
yeah,
he came to us, was a nickelback for us, and now he's a special teams coordinator for the Las Vegas Raiders, and just turned a corner and got a kickstart, and kids take advantage of their opportunity, and they take it as far as they want, and it's good to see.
You mentioned just not only those guys getting to those levels, but when you mentioned the names you mentioned, these are coaches that end up being really good at what they do. And so how much do you credit to what you've been able to develop with the minds you've put around this program and say it's not just that they're good players, it's guys that have the ability to grow the game in some sense like they're able to do and coach at the highest levels?
Yeah, learn a game of football the game of football helps a lot of kids. If you look at all the thousands of football players that have come through Fresno City College, if we didn't have that football program, what would happen to those guys?
Right.
They use our program as a vehicle to get to reshape their lives. And I'm just really fortunate to be a part of that.
Absolutely. And it's been great to kind of see it all develop, of course. And there's so many great examples of it. But of course, you're hanging it up, and you're passing the baton to someone new. And I think announced today, we know the new name, Coach Josh Brown, right? That's who's coming in, and he'll be introduced, I think, next week for you guys. But were you part of the committee, first of all? Were you part of that search committee for a new coach? And tell me about that process of if you have the details on it, how you guys landed on it.
Well, first of all, we have a press conference at Ratcliffe Stadium, 3:00 on Tuesday.
Yeah,
which and we'll introduce Josh. And no, I was not part of the committee. And I didn't feel comfortable being on that committee because there's too many of friends that I had that were applying for the job, and I didn't want to be the guy that chose one over the other. And
that's fair.
And Derek Johnson did a great job putting a solid committee together, and our president and Derek. Dr. Derek Johnson, our associate dean, they did a fabulous job coming up with Josh. And Josh, I talked to him the other day. He was coaching at Cal Poly when my son went through there, and I told him on the phone. I said, a couple of years ago, I gave you my son. Now I'm going to give you my baby. So better take care of it. He's been recruiting the Valley. He knows all these high school coaches. He's been a fixture in recruiting for all the colleges that he coached at, University of Hawaii, University of Nevada. And he's most recently the defensive coordinator at Sac State. But he's been recruiting the Valley with all these programs, and that's a big part of it because our high school coaches, who are the lifeblood of our football program, know him and respect him and know the kind of person he is, and will not have a problem sending kids to Fresno City College. And then now he's got to get used to the 2-year level. He's been a 4-year college coach his whole life, and you know, 2 year football is a little bit different.
A little bit.
And I think he'll pick it up pretty quickly.
Just from the defensive perspective, of course, he comes from that side of the ball, but now he has to take over the duties on all fronts and make those big decisions and be the guy that everyone's looking at as far as the in-game management side of things. You know, how much of that is such a transition? Like, how quickly does that come at you as a coach? I'm sure you remember when that was first introduced to you of all the duties a head coach is getting there. But what is he facing as a new head coach?
Well, you know, you got to put on different hats. You know, you got to be the strength coach, and you got to be the fundraiser. You got to be the recruiting coordinator. You got to, you know, coordinate or one side of the ball and maybe have hands on the other side of the ball. You got to, game day is a little bit different when you're a head coach. You got to make sure the academics are in it. I mean, you got to do everything.
Right.
And it's not easy, but, you know, thank God we have great support over at Fresno City College for him. You know, he's the sharp guy. He understands college football, college athletics. I don't think it's going to be too big of a problem for him.
The history that's attached to this job, though, I got to imagine, you know, everyone's got some high expectations for continuing this, the status quo of what this program has been, which is just winning, right? And so I got to imagine, you know, him, of course, whatever pressure that comes from that, that'll be a byproduct of all of that. But I got to imagine, you know, I don't know if there's advice or there's something that you think about, like how he can handle all of the people that beloved and cherish Fresno City football that, you know, you've dealt with, you've right. You've talked to people around this whole thing. You know, how do you help that aspect for him, knowing that a lot of people really cherish this program?
Yeah, I think he has to get out in the community, and he has to meet people, you know, he knows the high school programs in this town, but he doesn't know the ins and outs of our program and the former players and the history of the program, and that's just going to take time.
Yeah,
and he's going to immerse himself into that. There's no question in my mind. But yeah, there's a lot of tradition. There's just so many great people in this town that have come through our program, and you know, the best way to get to know those guys is through fundraising. To be perfectly
right.
Honest with you, you know, people think, oh, it's hard to ask people for money, but in this town, you know, pick up the phone and call a guy and visit with them, and then ask them for money. And I think that's something that he's going to be doing.
Well, you got something coming up. Let's talk about it real quick. You got a golf tournament coming up, and you're seem to be a spearhead in this thing. And so you want to let people know, you know, what's coming up with what's it called? The Rams Classic? Is that what it's called? Or what are we calling it?
Yeah, we've been doing this golf tournament for many years. It's been a staple fundraiser for our program. All the money that we raise goes straight into the 2026 football team. You know, we have to feed our players. We got to buy them helmets. There's so much more that we have to do for our players that we can't do if we didn't raise money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a pretty successful. I told Josh I would take care of the fundraising for this year, because I want him just to get to know our program, get to know this town, and get to know our team, and just immerse himself into football. I told him I would really help out with the Ram Huddle Club golf tournament and our Wall of Fame dinner, and get that thing rolling, so he can kind of see what we've done in the past. And if he wants to make changes, he can do whatever he feels comfortable with. But I'd like for him to see what we've done in the past. But yeah, this golf tournament is coming up June 15th, Monday. It's at Copper River. It'll be in the morning. If anybody needs information, they can just email me, tony.cavilla@fresnocitycollege.edu. Not hard to find that email address. And you can pay at the door. Just get your foursome together. And all the former players that played here, I'd love to have you guys come to this golf tournament and meet Josh. Josh will be there. It'll be a great opportunity to get to meet him for the first time. And we're going to get him out and around so he gets a feel for what Fresno is about, Fresno City College football is about, make this natural transition.
How's your golf game going right now?
You know, it's work in progress.
You know,
like everybody's. You know, tell me a golfer that's satisfied with his golf game, and I'll show you somebody that doesn't play golf.
So. Yeah, right.
Nobody's happy with it, but yeah, you know, just it's a work in progress. It's,
for sure.
It's a great game for old guys to play.
So maybe a little more room for improvement now that you got a...
Maybe I could practice.
You got the retirement side of things now. You got a little more time on your hands to improve the thing.
Yeah.
Tony, I know it's going to be an interesting transition for you. Have you even decided how you're going to handle this fall? Now you're going to go to some games. You're going to try to stay away from it. Have you decided yet on what that's going to look like yet? Or maybe go to some other events, and check it out.
Made no decisions.
Yeah, it's going to be weird, right?
I'm going back to Ohio State. I know that. I'm going to go. I have a lot of friends still in Columbus. Want to watch a game back there? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to LSU game. I'm going to watch the Rams, definitely.
Yeah.
I just haven't made a schedule yet of exactly what I'm going to do.
You knew what your schedule was for how many years? In the fall.
Yeah, 45 years.
You've never had to make your own schedule in the fall.
And not only did I know my schedule, my wife knew my schedule.
Exactly.
Because she knew not to make any arrangements in the fall. So this is the first time we have some things we can do in the fall that we haven't been able to do. I'd like to get over to some Fresno State games.
Of course.
I haven't been able to do that much. And so I'll be calling Chris Pacheco for some tickets, and I'm sure he'll help me out. But be nice to watch the Bulldogs. I'm excited to watch them play a little bit. I think this Ram football team next year is loaded. I think there's a lot of really, really good players coming back. And my staff that was here this spring in a staff in waiting – did a good job keeping everybody together. They did a great job recruiting. There's some really good high school kids coming in. I think this football team next year, without putting too much pressure on Coach Brown, but I think they could really make some noise. So there's a lot of exciting things, and still don't know what, again, like I said, don't know what retirement really means. I'm not going to watch TV. I'll be doing something.
Absolutely.
But exactly what at this point, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it should be. You'll find things to do, I'm sure. You'll find a reason to stay busy in every form of fashion. But Tony, it's exciting. New era for you, and it's going to be a new era for the Rams. But I'm sure it's in good hands with Coach Josh Brown. So look forward to chatting with him at some point down the road. So,
cool.
Tony, appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, and all the best.
All the best, and go Rams, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Tony Caviglia here on 1430 ESPN. We'll take a break. We'll be right back with more show right after this on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. That's right, Behind the Bench. One more segment before we say sayonara to our shows for the week. That's it. Yeah, we have nothing more after today. Bullard baseball tomorrow. We got the Bullard Knights, the Redwood Rangers going at it 4:00 tomorrow during our show. So that should be a lot of fun coming to you live from across the street over here where we are at. But that is coming up at 4:00. We will see you there tomorrow. That should be exciting. Of course, coming up tonight, here's a little look at our schedule. This is what it looks like today and to the rest of the weekend here. You have Grizzlies baseball coming up tonight, 6:15 pregame, 6:30 first pitch from Rancho Cucamonga. Tim Slack on the call for that one. The Grizzlies getting closer and closer to potentially clinching that first half championship. They did lose yesterday. Once again, they just play wild baseball games. Keep Rancho in the ballpark. We'll see some better results for the Grizzlies coming up tonight and throughout the weekend. A's and Angels over on 790, of course. That starts at 6:00, 6:40 first pitch for the A's, who just absolutely laid it into the Angels yesterday in that one. Tomorrow, like I said, Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D from 2 to 3. We'll have my show not happening. We will be at Bullard and Redwood No Show of Fashion Furniture. Another thank you to Fashion Furniture for allowing us to do that. Again, reminder, Memorial Day sale at Fashion Furniture, so be sure to get on over there for the weekend. Plenty of opportunity for you to save some money. We will also, after our game at Bullard tomorrow, we will have Grizzlies baseball tomorrow as well on 1430. So doubleheader there for you. We're going to toss it to Grizzlies baseball right after we are wrapped. So potentially hitting the first pitch at 6:30 for sure. We'll join in progress if we go a little later. 6:15 pre, but
6:10.
6:10?
Yeah.
Did they move that up? Is it a 20-minute pregame?
To
the Rancho? Grizzlies? Yeah. Regardless, we wrapped up at about what? Almost 6:30 last night. Almost 6:40 last night. So,
got extended a little bit, but we'll probably hit. We'll be right on time.
Tim will understand. We'll try to hit it right on time. That's for sure. We will conclude our Bullard game before we send it out to Grizzly baseball.
We'll try not to miss any of the Grizzlies.
We're gonna do our best. We'll do our best. Sorry, that's what we do. Trying to get you the maximum amount of programming here for you. A's Angels tomorrow at 7:90. Friday. Sportsline Building Hour, Tony, 2 to 3. No show. We're off Friday, taking advantage of the Memorial Day weekend. So we will not have a show Friday. We will not have a show Monday. We will be back Tuesday for the full reaction of what happened over the sports weekend. Of course, back with a full 3 to 6 p.m. showtime there. Trying to think what else. Of course, we will start our coverage of the conference finals Friday with game 3 between the Spurs and the Thunder. Right now, this game tied at 11 apiece with 7:11 to go in the first quarter. San Antonio, of course, leading that series 1-0. We'll have the first bit of the Knicks and Cavs series on Saturday after a triple header on 1430. That's right, triple header of Palmetto Show, the Central Valley Sports Report, to Giants baseball day game against the White Sox, to the Eastern Conference Finals game 3 between the Knicks and the Cavs from Cleveland. A's and Padres on 7:90 on Saturday and Sunday. Like I said, 1430, 7:90. We'll be switching back and forth for the conference finals. We'll have it covered for you basically starting on Friday to the rest of the series, however those play out. Anything else I cover there, Jorge? You look like you're ready to chime in, or do you got anything else?
No, that's it. That's about it. Yeah, looking forward to this weekend.
What are we watching this sports weekend? I think I know one thing. I'm going to take a gander. I got an idea of what you're watching Saturday, Jorge.
What is that?
The old Champions League match going Saturday, right? Is that this weekend?
No, not this weekend.
Oh, is it next weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, they really are extending it out, huh? I can't hear you. Your mic's off.
My bad. No, this week is the final weekend of the Premier League.
Premier League. That's right. So, Arsenal already won it.
And yeah, they're just going to decide who
gets relegated, who gets the boot.
West Ham won.
Yeah, today. So West Ham and Tottenham, but it's Tottenham's got the tiebreaker over West Ham, right?
Yeah.
So Tottenham can't lose. West Ham has to win or draw, but Tottenham can't.
I think West Ham has to win.
West Ham has to win. Has to lose for Tottenham to be out.
No. Tottenham has to lose for Tottenham to be out, but if and West Ham to win.
Exactly what I just said.
But if they draw.
If both of them draw.
No, but if West Ham draws, then they're still out. But if Tottenham draws, they have a chance of still beating.
Okay. It's a little confusing. I know who Tottenham's playing. Shout out my Everton FC out there. If there's any other time for y'all to be back in Everton, man, this is the weekend.
Yeah. There was a Europa game today, the final. It was Freiburg against Aston Villa. Aston Villa won 3-0.
Yeah? Okay. What else are we watching this sports weekend? What are you locking into starting tomorrow? Anything, Jorge, this sports weekend?
It would probably be there's going to be a lot of finals of soccer because this is like the last week.
Right. We saw the Bundesliga champion.
Resolved. I think the Italian champion needs to be, it's going to the last week too.
Okay.
Formula One.
Got a Formula One race
Canadian
this week?
Canadian Grand Prix.
In Canada?
Yep.
Okay.
Starting tomorrow or Friday to start. So
We got the Byron Nelson Championship in Texas after that scintillating PGA Championship for golf. So Byron Nelson.
Basketball playoffs.
Got the NBA playoffs. Of course, hockey tonight. The Avs and the Knights start their series tonight. Tomorrow you have the Canadiens and the Hurricanes starting their series. A lot of things going on, man. You know what's next week, though? You know what I'm locking in next week, Jorge?
What's that?
Spelling Bee.
Ah, right.
We might have to do some Spelling Bee next week during our shows in honor of that. Mr. Paul Loeffler and Mina Kimes on the call.
Well, I'm out.
You're out on spelling?
No.
No?
My grammar is very poor.
I think names are harder than like actual terms, but you may have to test the old noggin here. We could do a spelling bee in here or some sort. Five of the most misspelled team. You can't get me Antetokounmpo. You can't give me that though. That doesn't.
Gotta bring Tambir, right?
Tambir can be here. We can do it. We can make a whole thing. Daniel can be here.
Ethnically, Tambir would be the one to defeat us all.
What are you saying there?
And I mean in the spelling bee.
Okay,
right?
I'm not touching what you just said. I'm not touching that. With a 10-foot ball. Like I said, high school tomorrow, high school playoffs. Giants baseball returns Friday, of course, with the White Sox series. The fourth best team in baseball, the Chicago White Sox. Remember we were doing White Sox stat of the day 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And now here we sit with the White Sox doing their thing.
Well, good for them.
Go figure, huh?
Good for them.
That's what the Giants need to do, man. Just be the White Sox for a couple of years. Then you're back at it, man.
Nobody wants to be the White Sox. Not even the White Sox wants to be the White Sox.
I don't know. I think the White Sox are having a great fun year right now. I think this is a fun team to watch, man. Murakami, Colson Montgomery just smacking homers. You know? It's the only two White Sox. Miguel Vargas, I think. Former Dodger.
The Pope.
Come on. All right. Let's send it to Rancho Cucamonga. That's coming up next. Grizzlies baseball. We'll see you tomorrow, 4 o'clock, for Bullard and Redwood.